In 1870, with the air still thick with the sorrow and destruction of the American Civil War, Unitarian Julia Ward Howe wanted to harness the power of a mother's love to create lasting peace in the world. Here is her now famous Mother's Day proclamation. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or tears. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caress and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure others. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of council. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commiserate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each learning after his own the sacred impress not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that General Congress of Women, without limit of nationality, may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient at the earliest period, consistent with its objects to promote the alliance of different nationalities, the amicable statement of international questions, the great and general interest in peace.
So when you hear those words, even spoken this many years later, you can hear the passion and even the anger, the rage that's under the surface there. And the question becomes, for those of us sitting in this room today or listening online in 2025, who is this woman, Julia Ward Howe, and how did she get to the point where she created this Mother's Day proclamation? I'll tell you. So it was in 1819 in New York when Julia Ward Howe was born to a very wealthy banker. Now, she was a gifted child, and from an early age, she wanted nothing more than to be a writer. She wanted to be a writer. And her father was affectionate, but he believed that women had a very particular role in society and that his daughter was only going to be trained to run a household. And so he censored what Julia was able to read and learn during that time. And by the time she was a young adult, she said she considered him more of a jailer than a father. Well, I'd like to tell you that Julia Ward Howe went from jail to freedom, but unfortunately, when she married Samuel Gridley Howe, he was also a domineering man, brilliant man, handsome man, but very domineering. And he had similar beliefs to Julia's father about what options were open to her as a woman at that time. And so she tried to be a poet, and she was writing and worked on plays, and she was an essayist, and she was very interested in the social justice movements of the time, but she had no support at home, and so it was hard. It was difficult. And so at one point, in 1861, Julia rather meekly accompanied her husband to a conference in Washington, D.C., and this was during the Civil War time, and she was very much a big believer in ending slavery, and so she was on board with the North doing what it needed to do to win this war. So she went with her husband to Washington, D.C., and there she met with her minister, Walter Freeman Clark, and they had a conversation about this song. We're going to hear more about this song. We're going to hear some versions of this song later, but it's a song called John Brown's Body, and it was a song that the troops sang as they marched along, and the lyrics were dubious at best. And her minister, Unitarian minister, said, you know, I I can challenge you, Julia. You're a wonderful writer. Maybe you could come up with alternative lyrics for this melody so our soldiers are actually singing something that reflects what we're trying to do here. And she said, well, I'll think about it. So she went home that night, and she woke up the next morning, and all the lyrics were there in her head, and she wrote them out, and it was essentially a first draft that we now know as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, and the glory, glory, hallelujah, chorus in that song. So that song has stuck around, and that song was an important song during the Civil War. And it reflected where she was in her mind at the time. Now, years passed, and Julia started seeing what was happening as the Civil War went on. She saw young men coming home traumatized, disfigured, or not coming home at all. She saw that even after the Civil War was over, the divisions remained in the country, and people were disillusioned and worn out. And she started to rethink a little bit of what she thought before. She still believed in the cause, but she started to wonder if maybe there was a different approach to take. So in 1869, she and some other women began what was one of the first American suffragette movements in the country, working for the right for women to vote. And as she got more deeply involved in that, it was the next year, 1870, that she came out with this Mother's Day proclamation. This idea that if all the mothers of the world would join together and say, enough, enough, then this kind of carnage would never happen again. And I think as I look at her whole biography, I think it was also a reflection of her journey of being able to finally be in a place where she could stand up with support and truly own her power and say, no, the ways of men, really, are not the ways that we need to have in our world so that it can continue to be a place where children can be nurtured and brought up in. So this was a radical message, and it was one of the first times that a Mother's Day had been proposed by anyone. There was an earlier movement that eventually became Mother's Day as we know it in 1908, just a couple of years before this that was born. But this is really the one that got all the attention. And as we sit here this morning and we think about what Mother's Day has become, it's a worthy day in so many ways. It's a celebration of mothers and mothering, and it's a day to send flowers or cards or to your mom or take your mom out to brunch or whatever it might be. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I also think it's sad that Howe's vision of what this day could be is kind of been lost along the way, even amongst our UU communities. We forget sometimes this is one of our days that we should really reclaim. I also think Mother's Day is a bit challenging in today's world because we recognize that there isn't one single role that a mother can only play anymore. We see fathers who have that traditionally nurturing experience with their children. We see non-binary and trans families. We see people breaking outside the box of what families look like. And so it starts to become complicated to even think about, well, what does it mean when we celebrate a Mother's Day exactly? But I think there's room to both honor mothers and ideas about motherhood that have maybe existed throughout time, and also open that space up and say we can also honor all kinds of concepts of what it means to be a nurturer and caregiver this morning. I mean, just imagine what it would be like if we honored mothering, honored caretaking, not just with cards, but with an actual movement, a movement toward peace. And I don't need to tell you we're not living in peaceful times, folks. We know it. I wish I could say we were, but we know the wars in Ukraine and Gaza continue to take lives and devastate lives. We know there's tensions right now between the U.S. and Canada and Greenland. I mean, did you ever think I'd be up here having to say that? It seems so ridiculous. But it's not that we're at war, but those tensions are there that can sometimes be the precursor for that kind of conflict. We have issues with militarization in the South China Sea. We have Sudan ongoing conflict. I mean, we have a world that is deeply, deeply troubled right now. And, you know, I struggle sometimes on a Sunday morning to talk about some of these conflicts in a meaningful way because there's not enough time to give them the nuances that are needed to really explain. I mean, we know that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, you know, that could be an ongoing class we all do for a year and still may never all come to the same exact perspective on that. But the point is that even with all of that complexity, at the heart of it, the thing I think people can agree on across the political spectrum is that humanity can do better than this. That if we don't have this idea of peace in our heads as a vision that we're actually working toward, well, you know, this is what we get. And we can do better. So I was lamenting this week as I'm reading the thing that Louise read so beautifully for us. Here was Julia Ward Howe in the middle of this chaotic time, and she was able to bring this message out that really got heard by a lot of people and started a movement at that particular moment in time. Got people thinking and talking about peace, and I thought, where are the Julia Ward Howes in our world today? Where's that voice that just cuts like a clarion call through all the crap, excuse me, but the crap that's out there, right? And that's really hard for us to hear sometimes. And I think there's a few reasons for that. One, I think we live in a world with a lot more people who have a lot more access to having their voice heard. You know, we live in this chaos of digital voices, and it's so loud, and it's so complicated that cacophony is something that we can't hear anything through sometimes. So I think that's one piece of it. And I think the other piece is that there's a certain kind of extreme conservative voice that has really found a way to sound like that clarion call. They know how to break through the chaos and have their voice heard. Now, they're content is often deplorable, but they know how to reach people with the confidence, with the supposed vision that they offer in what they say. And honestly, I think sometimes progressive folks, we're so tentative. You know, we want everything to be nuanced all the time, and I get that, but it means that sometimes we miss those opportunities to actually have a vision and state it in a compact way that people can receive and hear. And I think that's a problem in the world we live in today. We have to find a way to cut through all that noise. So the question then becomes, if we don't have Julia Ward Howe with us at this moment in time, you know, maybe we can't rely on a single voice. Maybe Martin Luther King Jr. is not present for us at this moment. Maybe Julia Ward Howe is not here for us at this moment. But, and this may be what the future looks like, maybe it's about a collective voice. Maybe it's about communities that come together and have a unified message that gets lifted up out of all of this noise. And maybe it's about us recognizing we're part of that collective voice, that we can't wait around for Julia Ward Howe to save us with her words, that we actually have some power in this small community and then the communities that we're part of in shaping what that voice sounds like in the larger culture. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a lot of things that a lot of folks are involved in our social justice community and in the work that people in this congregation do. It might look like local peace initiatives. It might be anti-gun violence groups. It might be environmental stewards, indigenous land defenders, mutual aid networks. Small, deliberate acts of peace, whether it's restorative justice circles in schools and universities, community gardens in food deserts, animal ministry, trauma-informed parenting, all of these things are part of what it means to be a caretaker for our society and the world. And we are part of that group that is attempting to be caretakers. And caretaking in a time of chaos, division, and violence, caretaking is an act of resistance, a powerful act of resistance. And that's what Julia Ward Howe was saying all those years ago. The other thing that's part of this process is that we can't just do the work of resistance without also having a vision in front of us. Our theme this month is imagination. And we have to imagine what we are trying to build. We have to really be able to see it. That's one of the reasons I think it's so important to come to a community like this one. Because I don't know about you, but when I am home alone, you know, my imagination starts getting more and more narrow. And I get online and I look at things and I think, ugh, you know. But I get out with people, I see things, we go to rallies, we participate in various things, and you start to have your imagination open up a little bit. You start to think there are things that are actually possible that we're not even aware of when we're sometimes isolated and by ourselves. The great sci-fi writer Octavia Butler, who, if you haven't read some of her works like The Parable of the Sower, really talk about someone who is prescient for understanding these times. But she writes about imagination as not a distraction, but recognizing that it's actually the blueprint. And she says, every story I create creates me. I write to create myself. Every story I write adds to me a little, changes me a little, forces me to re-examine an attitude or belief, causes me to research and learn, helps me to understand people and to grow. In other words, what she's saying here is the world as it is not the only possibility. We actually have the capacity to imagine, to create, to write new possibilities. You can start that right now. So just imagine building on this foundation of motherhood, this idea of nourishing, caretaking. Just imagine a world where conflict is actually met with understanding instead of escalation. It's the first lesson our mothers often teach us, you know, don't hit, share, cooperate, right? We learn this in the sandbox. We learn it early on with our siblings. And then we are beholden, we're taken hostage by leadership that never got those lessons through. And then it trickles down into this horrible thing. We have to figure out a way beyond that. We have to be able to imagine a world where nurturing is honored, where it's not seen as a weakness, but it's honored, where peace is policy, actual policy, not just prayers for peace, not just lip service. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm. Disarm. This is the heartbeat of a way I think we can think of Mother's Day going forward. We can surely still celebrate individual mothers, the mothers that have touched our lives, the mother we might be, all of that. But just think about what a collective uprising of caregivers of all identity demanding an end to violence. Just think what that could do. Just think about what it would be if we harnessed that energy, the energy we saw in the video of animals. You know, that this energy is here, and it is strong, and it has kept the human race on this earth all these years. None of us would be here if we hadn't been nurtured along the way, if we hadn't been mothered along the way. That is some strong energy that has made the human race. Just think what it could be if we harness that toward peace. We may not have that singular voice like Julia Ward Howe to lead us right at this moment. That's okay. Maybe we don't need it. Maybe we already have this wisdom, and we need to come together and use our collective voice to make this change. We know humanity can do better. Do we know that peace is attainable in our lifetime? Well, no, we don't know that. But it sure as heck better to work toward it than not. Because it might be the world that we're maybe not even leaving for our grandchildren or great-grandchildren, but somewhere down the road, it's the world, a peaceful world we might be building for a generation that has yet to come. And I think it's worth it. And I think, despite everything going on in the world, I think this is what makes this a happy Mother's Day message. Because this is a message that invites us to honor and harness all of that maternal power that has existed since the beginning of the human race. Honor that and envision a world of peace using our imaginations. And to position ourselves as mother, all of us, to think of ourselves as parental energy for all that is and all that will be. And in so doing, we might arise, just as Julia Ward Howe implored us to do.